Good morning. So I'm also from Lisbon, Portugal. So the problem I focus on this paper is on upgrades and patches. So you are given the following scenario. You have an old and new version of software artifacts. Okay, I think it's... So, you want to perform an upgrade between versions of a software artifact. And what I call a patch is basically an encoding between the old and the new version of the software artifact. And the problem I'm concerned with is that the patch scales in proportion to the actual changes between the old and new version. And that means that P, the patch, encodes the meaningful changes between O and N. So let's take a look at some common approaches to doing this. Well, you can simply perform an upgrade with a whole new version update. I mean, the patch is just the new version. There's no incrementality here. Another possible solution is to encode the patch as a set of changed files. So this is too coarse-grained, obviously. Okay? If a file changes just by one tiny detail, we transmit the full file and so on. Another popular approach, of course, and it's also employed quite often, is using binary differences. So you have the binary encoding of O and N, you take the byte-level differences, and you obtain the patch. This is actually too fine-grained, and the abstraction is very low. And this is also too sensitive to the encoding format. You can have small changes leading to wide, small details that occur in the serialization format cause patches to be quite large. And there's actually hybrid schemes which try to overcome this problem with binary differences, which, like, for example, the Kujek tool that is used for Google Chrome patches adds a few salt, some salt to the process, that is context, and it avoids... It can reduce binary patches a lot. So can we do better? So we have two problems. Changes can lead to patches that are out of proportion. And patches are also hard to trace back to the specification level changes. So this might be... this is subtle in the sense that when you have... there's a typo here, I'm sorry, in the sense that when upgrades are typically applied unconditionally. But if you want to validate the patch before you apply it at the end system, then you have no level of abstraction to reason on. You just get a binary blob and you have to make sense about it. So... patches should be fine-grained, and they need to have a right abstraction level. And what we consider is abstract syntax tree differences. So the basic idea is that you have an AST representing the new version and the old version, and the patch is a difference between both ASTs. So... And in the paper, I consider this idea over Java. Let's take a look at a simple toy example. So on the left side, you have an old version of a class foo. And on the right side, you have a new version. So there are several changes from old to new version, simple changes. So you add a field, y, and... there's actually a change that is synthetically irrelevant in the sense that method SQX is unchanged, but its position, but it is moved around in the source code. You have the constructor of foo that is patched because you initialize the new variable and you change the initialization value of x. And you have a method removal get x and you add a new method set x. So this is just a simple toy example. So the difference between both classes is relatively obvious. And when you consider AST differences, well, AST differences are known to be an adequate abstraction level to reason on software evolution. This at least at source code level. We cannot consider source code patches. These are impractical for a number of good reasons. And compiled code is, in many cases, difficult to handle. However, this is not the case in Java, because there is a good correspondence between Java in source code terms and the Java virtual machine bytecode format. So what I did was develop the tool that performs AST level patching for the JVM format. So the patch for the previous example, this the tool I developed, I will talk about it just next, derives a patch that has this abstract representation. This is just a human readable form. So you would expect that you go down both ASTs, the old and new version, and you analyze differences. And what you get is a structured structured patch like this. Okay? So, and we have to consider removed, added, and patched functionality, and you go down to the level of JVM bytecode. So the patch is essentially a 3D script. So you can download the tool. It's online, available. The basic traits are that the JVM format is converted to an AST representation. The AST factors out irrelevant syntactic details. And also some details from the JVM format itself, and the patches are defined at the AST level. Okay, so this is quite different from considering binary differences. So this is the scheme for patch derivation. You have all the new classes in the JVM format. You convert it to an AST representation, and you analyze the difference between both AST representations to derive a patch. And the symmetrical process should be obvious enough. I start with an old version. The old version I converted to the AST representation. I apply the patch. I obtain the AST representation of the new version. And then I write it back to the JVM format. Okay, so I've been talking about the AST. So what is this AST for the JVM format? Well, it's actually quite close. So here you can see the AST grammar for the JVM format. And it for anyone familiar with the Java Virtual Machine or even just the main traits of Java source code, this is very much similar. However, there are some important features. One is that symbolic information is resolved from the JVM format. So essentially, the JVM class file contains a constant pool, and the JVM class file is filled with references to the constant pool spread throughout it. So I don't want to compare constant pool indexes. I want to compare symbolic information. The other thing is, and this is quite trivial as well, the definition order is factored out at the AST level. For example, the order of fields or methods or constants in the pool is irrelevant from a syntactic perspective. It doesn't matter which order a method appears in the JVM class file. However, this would make a definite difference for binary difference tools, okay? Because they're just sequences of bytes. So A is the ASPA tool factors those differences out. Okay, so we have awaited the tool for the RT jar archive for Java 7, and so RT jar contains the well-known classes like JavaLang, JavaWoot, and so on. And the basic measure we took was patch size for the successive updates. So we did this for 13 versions. And for comparison, we used binary different patches generated by BSDiff. So BSDiff is quite popular. For example, it is used for Google Chrome patches within the Gojek tool. And now I also did comparison with other tools. You can check the website. But BSDiff was by far the most efficient. And the results are here in this graph. The basic result is that ASPA patches are 40% smaller on average. So this graph is a log scale. And however, okay, so ASPA performs better than binary difference tools. That's fine. But the other, the other aspect to remark is that the sensitivity of binary differences. BSDiff patches can be one or two order of magnitude, one or two orders of magnitude larger if we tweak with the JVM format context in a syntactically irrelevant manner. For example, for other fields and methods and so on. So the previous result, in the previous results, BSDiff performs actually very well. I was expecting it to perform worse because BSDiff is a memory-hungry, quite memory-hungry algorithm, and Java runtime updates are quite, the compilation is quite regular. I mean, a class changes, but the form in which the Java compiler, I suppose it's the Java compiler they use, does not vary much. Okay, so in any case, if you, for example, consider another compiler to generate the same class, or if you somehow change the class files, BSDiff is quite sensitive to that, as would be expected. Okay, and ASPA is sensitive to those because it performs patches at the AST level. So there are also some measure of timings. So ASPA is still in a prototype stage. It should be better for... So patch derivation is not... the time for patch derivation is not very significant. But since you typically, if you want to employ a scheme like this, you will drive the patch at... the provider of the software will drive the patch. But when you wish to apply the patch, it will be on an end system, okay? And so these 4 seconds, on average, can be too much in some cases, okay? So I actually prepared the talk for 15 minutes, so I thought it would be, I would have less time. So in conclusion, just some more final remarks. So this methodology is in principle applicable to other VM-based language, and actually for Java, if you consider compilation to the Dalvik format. So Android provides a nice motivation for this type of technology. Actually, Android apps now have so-called smart updates, which are incremental, and they are based on binary differences. And beyond plain upgrades, the upgrade scenario, I believe that ST-level patches are useful as an abstraction for software evolution application in general. So you can think of an ST-level patch, in a sense, as a proof-carrying patch. Okay? If you want to validate your patch at the end system, you have to do it at the right abstraction level. Okay? And there are several applications in which this would be useful, I think, like dynamic software updates, differential symbolic execution, and so on. Okay? So if you have any questions, thank you. Aspa works over the JVM, so it doesn't matter. Anything that gets compiled to the JVM
can be back to source, right?
No. Just it will operate just on the JVM level. The complexity is linear, okay, to the size of the patch. So this is PSDIF as is an application that has been developed over the years. It's written in C and so on. So this is a prototype. But in terms of complexity, I just go down through the syntactic structure of the class file and I write it with linear complexity. There's no... So it's a matter of just working on it. Okay, but this is, of course, relevant if you consider... So you have to compare the transfer time. For example, if you consider a full update, it will take time X. If the time to apply the patch takes more or less the same time as downloading the full thing, then this is obviously... But as I said, there are now... smart updates for Android apps, for example, that use binary differences. So this is a real concern.
Do you think that there's any... it seems a little far-fetched, but do you think that there's any higher level? Essentially what you're saying is that there's structure inside the JVM that's... there are choices made in bytecode that are irrelevant. So if you abstract those choices, mm-hmm. you understand what they are, you can make smaller gifs.
Yeah.
So it seems like you could go even higher level. Like, imagine you have a gif that's this is kind of stupid, but like you add a parameter to a method,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be 42 in order to call to that. I can't imagine that would happen in practice, but you can imagine that you could express that as like one mm-hmm. unit, and then there's a sort of complicated thing that happens to actually apply that diff in practice. Mm-hmm. So you can get even more layers.
So what they see if I got this way. So I'd say we refactor method by adding one argument to the method. Is there?
I guess I'm just saying, are there higher level structures given to you in the bytecode that you could use to compress the diffs even more?
So to make it clear, so the diffs, there are two things. So the diffs basically abstract the low-level JVM format. You have constant pool references, that kind of thing. I abstract order of definitions, etc. So that's why I get a better performance than binary diff. The other thing is that essentially, and if you're talking about Java, you can basically map JVM bytecode into Java source code. That's why there are many disassemblers for JVM bytecode and so on. But my last point was, and this is here, is that there is a problem of efficiency, and there's a problem of abstraction. So, and the thing I think this is, the other point I want to make is more subtle, is that if you want, you have something, a patch that encodes your changes, and you can trace those back to the specification, okay, then you have a sort of proof-carrying patch. It's at the right abstraction level. It means that you can validate the patch. If you get a blob of bytes, You just, I don't know. I mean, people, for example, from DSU systems will probably know more about it, but I think this is interesting in that sense, okay? And, well, as future work, I'm actually used, interested in using the tool for empirical software evolution analysis, because there is quite a few work for C, not so much for Java. And I think this is interesting. In more general sense, my work focuses the problem of modularity in updates, making sure that your effort is in proportion to the changes. I have some previous work on dynamic updates for real-time systems that have dealt with this issue, and it was the original motivation for this.
Did you think at all about cascading updates or patches? So I put in a patch, and there was something wrong with it, and all I want to do is fix a little thing inside that patch. Would that somehow change the way that you would do things?
So you're saying that I have a patch, and the tool, just to make it clear, the tool just transforms class files or jar files into other jar files. It just performs static patching. Okay, so when you mention cascade updates, so this is not, there's no runtime system involved here. Okay, this is not a dynamic update system. Okay, this is just something to transform, to give into jar files, drive a patch, you can send it to an end system, and you can apply the patch statically. I mean, you can use the API to do it at runtime, it's all choice, but I don't consider the runtime environment here. I'm not sure I understood your question.
So, I'm thinking of the application process.
Mm-hmm.
So, if the patch comes in and I know that I'm only changing something that I have total understanding of because I just submitted a patch, can I exploit that somehow?
If you're total, I'm sorry.
I understand what you did. I'm just thinking of a
so
process.
You have cascades. Oh, you can do. I'm not sure if this answers your question. So you have a system that gets patched over time, over and over again. So you can submit incremental patches. That is, if you go to state zero from state one, then you can submit a patch for state one, not going back to the. So this is incremental. I'm not sure if that's what you meant.
Here's an idea.
Okay.
Great, thanks.
Okay.
Great.